we started this series, we would be having things for you to take home. We would be having tests, quizzes, and you're having your first quiz. This is called a pop quiz. A pop quiz is when you want to pop your teacher in the nose for giving it to you when you haven't been prepared for it. What I want you to do right now is we're going to go through this very quickly, and I want you to just circle the correct answers or do whatever you, and don't put your name on it, because I want the test without your name, because I want to see, after we take the test very quickly, we'll collect these, and then I'll just learn from your responses, okay? Number one, what does the inspiration of the Bible mean? What does it mean, inspiration of the Bible? Is it A, B, C, or D? Circle one of them. Don't you be peeking on your wife's paper now. You're just seeing if she's right. Is that what it is? Okay. Number two, circle the correct responses. Could be response or could be more than one response. The Bible is a human book. The Bible is a divine book. The Bible was originally written in two languages. It was originally written in three languages. It was originally written in a heavenly language. Circle as many as you think are correct. That's number two. Moving on. Am I going too fast? Guess not. Number three, circle the correct response. The Bible has approximately 40 human authors, 12 human authors, 27. The Bible has no human authors. That's number three. No trick questions here, none whatsoever. Sort of. Number four, circle the correct response. People in the Old Testament were saved by works, or people in the New Testament times were saved by grace. Somebody's already gone to number five. Circle one, true or false, Adam had a belly button. We'll discuss that somewhere along the line.
Is it in the Bible?
We will discuss that somewhere along the line. It will come up. Number six, there are several people who are mentioned in the scripture. Put a one by the one who first appears in biblical history. Then two by the one that's next. Three, four, five, and six. List them. All you're doing is going one, two, three, four, five, six. Forcing you to think. Wish we didn't have that yet. Yeah, all students complain. That's right. That's okay. Number seven. Are you ready for number seven? Okay, number seven. The Apostle John said in 1 John 2:27, ye need not that any man teach you. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4:11 and 12, God gave teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Now, in view of those two statements, A, the Bible contradicts itself. B, the Bible does not contradict itself, but Paul and John just disagreed on this point. C, the translation from Greek to English was faulty on one of these verses. Or D, you have no idea how to reconcile these two verses. Okay? Number eight, circle one, true or false. The Bible is absolutely true when it comes to spiritual matters, salvation, heaven, and so on like that, but it does contain some historical and scientific inaccuracies. True or false? Nine. You can know that you have the proper meaning of a verse in the Bible if A, your pastor or teacher agrees with you. B, you take the verse for what it says. C, you pray about it. D, you know the Greek language. Or E, you have a special dream at midnight after eating a piece of cherry pie at 11 p.m. One of those And number 10, circle the correct responses if there's more than one or if there's just one. The Bible contains poetry, the Bible contains history, the Bible contains sophistry, the Bible contains prophecy. Circle the correct responses. Reed, would you collect the papers, please? Don't put your name on it. If you did, put your name at the top right, tear off the top right. This is not an inquisition. This is just a questioning of where we are together. Because in this course that we're studying on how to understand and study the Bible, I want us to really think and learn together. And I think we're going to have a good time doing it. You should have another sheet now that says how to study and understand the Bible, lesson one. We're going to start there this evening. We'll probably continue next week. If you're a really bad sinner, you'll forget your copy and you won't bring it next week to finish it. And I will chide you and then give you a second copy. But hopefully you will remember and keep it in your Bible and bring it next week. That is, if we don't finish today, okay? Now, what are you doing? Comparing your answer still back there? Oh, yeah. I see. I'm here to promote unity among husband and wife. Good luck, huh? See, if you wouldn't be looking on her paper, there wouldn't be any disunity at all. But, you know, I didn't look on her paper. You did. I see. All right, let's take a look at our papers and what you see. Thank you, Reed. Appreciate it. Thank you a whole lot. This should be fun. And we'll discuss the responses next week so that you kind of know, because it's really not good to give a test and not let people know how they did, because they don't learn anything that way if they didn't know the answers already. So, all right, let's, first of all, I want you to start naming Christian denominations. Baptist, what else? Methodist. Episcopal. Lutheran. Brethren. Pentecostal. Mennonite. How could you forget Mennonite? You said it. Okay, Protestant covers all of those in some people's minds. Some Baptists don't think they're Protestants, and I understand that, but okay, why are there so many, and why do they disagree, and at the same time, they all say, standing on the promises, they all say they believe the Bible. Why is that? Okay, now let's name some cults, some quasi-Christian cults or otherwise cults. Mormon, that is Latter-day Saints, okay? Jehovah Witnesses. Christian Science. Unity. Okay, some would be cult-like, just like some Baptists would be cult-like. You're correct. Scientology, yes. Islam. Okay, major religions and cults, I have them both together as far as, Hinduism, you know, I have all of that kind of mixed in. But the Christian, what about the ones that claim to believe the Bible? Why are they so different from one another? They add to, take away. We're going to learn tonight, at least begin to learn, why there are such differences. Reasons for different understandings or interpretations of the Bible. Take your Bible, please, and turn to the book of Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. I've put a lot of verses on your sheet so that we don't have to look them all up. But for each major category, I do want to have you open your Bible to one verse, and then you'll have the other verses before you. Acts chapter 8. You'll remember that Philip was an evangelist. And Philip went, and as he was traveling, he saw a man of Ethiopia. This is verse 27 of Acts chapter 8. And he was, verse 28, it said he was riding in a chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. He had must have had a scroll of Isaiah, which would have been, he must have been a very wealthy man, or he worked for somebody that's wealthy, because everybody didn't have their little Cambridge or Oxford Bible back then. There were, manuscripts and things on vellum or on various different kinds of writing materials, and he had a copy of Isaiah, and he's reading it. And the Spirit tells Philip in verse 29, go and join yourself to this chariot. So Philip does it, and he hears him reading the prophet. And so he asks him the question, verse 30, do you understand what you're reading? Verse 31, how can I understand except someone should guide me? And so Philip went on ahead. You know the story. If you don't, it's there for you to read. He went on to explain how the book of Isaiah spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ, the lamb that was led to the slaughter. And this Ethiopian eunuch went on his way after trusting Jesus as Messiah and being baptized. He headed on back to Ethiopia. So likely the gospel went to Africa before it went to Europe. That's a side point. But the point is this. The Ethiopian, apart from having spiritual life, could not really understand what the Bible said. And so you have a fill-in there. Number one, lack of life. Lack of life. Spiritual life. You see, the Bible says that people who have not yet trusted Christ as Savior are spiritually dead. They're dead in their trespasses, in their sins. Now, dead doesn't mean unconscious. Dead means separated. When you die physically, you as a person are separated from your body. You are separated from your body. When you die spiritually, if you're not a Christian and you die, you suffer separation from God forever and ever. That's what the Bible calls the second death. So death is not unconsciousness. Death is separation. And those who are separated from God do not understand the scriptures on their own. The word understanding here has to do with perceiving. Okay. By the way, it was a Jewish idiom for a physical relationship in marriage. It's a very close understanding. People can understand the words. Could somebody get her some of these, please? Somebody could understand the words, but really not be personally understanding what those words are. And that's what it's talking about. That's what it's talking about here. You see, it's possible to understand doctrine, but reject the Son of God. But it's not possible to receive the Son of God as your Savior and not, at least on an elemental level, understand doctrine. You must understand that you are a sinner and that you can't save yourself and that only Jesus can save you, or you can't be saved. You don't have to be able to explain the doctrines of justification, sanctification, redemption. You don't have to be able to explain it all, but you must have an elemental understanding to be saved. But if you're not saved, you may have a mental understanding of those things, but you have not personally experienced them. And that explains why. Go ahead and take a look at 2 Corinthians 4:4. It's on your sheet, so you don't have to look it up. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds. He has blunted their mental discernment. He has darkened their mind, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. An unsaved person does not really understand what the Bible says. Now, he may, in an academic way, be able to understand. But in an academic / spiritual way where it becomes part, he can't do it. He can't do it. That explains to me why some very intelligent people can swallow, say, the doctrines of Mormonism. They are extremely intelligent. They know. They're astute. They're very careful in their, you know, their policies, their politics, their understanding, everything. But they do not understand the core message of the gospel. It's not just a mental problem. And by that, I'm not talking about crazy. It's not just an intellectual problem. It is a spiritual problem. That's why 1 Corinthians 2:14, the next verse down, says the natural man, that is the human being apart from the Holy Spirit of God working in his life, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Why is it that there are so many cults that claim to believe the Bible and yet they deny the deity of Christ? They deny the finished work of Christ on the cross. They say that you have to do good works in order to be saved. They have all kinds of doctrines that are just totally opposite to what the Bible says. How can that be? It can be because it's not just an intellectual problem. That explains why there are so many cults, and by the way, so many Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Brethren, blah, 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 on and on we could go, who approach the scriptures, some of them, with a mind that is not yet regenerate. You saying that some Brethren people aren't saved? Yeah, I sure am, just like there's some Baptists that aren't, some Methodists that aren't, some Presbyterians. Yes, sir. Being in one of these denominations does not make you a Christian. There are a lot of people who have churchianity, but they don't have Christianity. And because of that, when they go to the scriptures, they're going to it with not a full spiritual deck, if I can use that terminology. They cannot really discern what is there the way they ought to. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness. The things of God to the natural man are foolishness. They're absurd. They're stupid. You mean to tell me I can't earn my way to heaven? Give me a break. Don't you know what the Bible... And they'll go on and on and on about that. It's foolishness to them. It's interesting to me that in Matthew chapter 13, you know, the parable of the sowers, you know, the four different kinds of soil that the seed is planted in, what does it say about the person who trusts Christ as Savior? Look at it. Matthew 13, 19, Jesus explains the parable. He says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one, catches away that which is sown in his heart. This is the seed that has been sown. Satan comes along and he explains that that person is the one who received the seed by the wayside. But in the next verse, verse 23, but he that received the seed unto good ground is he who hears the word and understands the word. That's the one where when the seed is planted, it brings forth fruit. There is a true born-again person who shows fruits of salvation. Because not only has he heard, but he has understood. I looked up some of these words. You can do the same thing if you have software or books like I have. The word understand has to do with bringing together, joining together in the mind. It reminded me of connecting the dots. Connecting the dots. The one who hears the word and really understands that I am a sinner and that I can't save myself no matter how hard I try. I can be a Baptist preacher and not be saved. I can be a Methodist preacher. I can be a deacon. I can be an elder. I can be a Sunday school teacher and not be saved. I am a sinner and nothing can save me except Jesus. And I have to come to Jesus and confess that I am a sinner, confess that I can't save myself, confess that I am not good enough for salvation, confess that there's no way that I could help God save me, and cast myself completely on the mercy of Christ because of what he did on the cross, accept his payment. That is connecting the dots. And when I understand that, I say, oh God, I place my faith in Jesus. Forgive me for my sins and save me. Boom. The dots have been connected. I have understood. I'm born again and there starts to be fruit in my life. If that does not happen, a person is going to be spiritually crippled as far as really understanding what the word says. It's just not going to, they're not going to come out with the right stuff very often. One more verse, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, Paul is talking to the folks at Ephesus, don't walk as Gentiles walk. By Gentiles, just unsaved people. That's what it's talking about. In the vanity of their minds, having their what? Their understanding darkened. They're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance of them because of the blindness of their heart. Why are there so many cults who claim to believe the Bible? Why are there so many denominations, many of which have gone down the tubes? They're not standing where they used to stand when they first started. They don't believe all of the Bible anymore. Why? Because gradually over a period of time in their seminaries, in their institutions, in their churches, they've allowed people to come in and take over, and it has been a situation where the blind have led the blind. And that's tragic. But it explains why there are so many cults that claim to believe the Bible and preach it, and it explains why there are so many denominations that do so. Now, having said that, let me very clearly emphasize to you that I'm not saying that our church is the only church. I am not saying that at all. I am very clearly acknowledging and thanking God that God has one more than one arm than the Baptist arm. There are some born-again Methodists, some born-again brethren, some born-again Mennonites, whatever. They know the Lord. They love Him. We differ on a few areas, on peripheral issues, and we'll deal with that later on as why we do. But I'm saying that one of the main reasons why there's so much confusion out there is because there's spiritual darkness. People are separated from God. They don't understand the Scripture. I want to deal with one more very briefly. Number two. Why is it that there are so many different understandings and interpretations of Scripture? Please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul, in the whole book of 2 Corinthians, what he's doing is he is trying to re-authenticate his own ministry because his ministry at Corinth has been attacked by false teachers and those who would like to lord it over the apostle. And so what he does is he appeals to his own ministry and the way he has conducted himself in that ministry. And he says in 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. He's saying, I have nothing to be ashamed of as far as my ministry to you is concerned. Not walking in craftiness. I haven't been subtle. I haven't given you false wisdom or sophistry. I haven't tried to trick you in any way with the Scriptures. And then he goes on to say, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. Handling the Word of God deceitfully? Yes. It has to do with ensnaring people with wrong use of Scripture, corrupting, adulterating. It comes from another word that means to decoy. Well, a decoy is a way to fool someone. He says, I haven't done that. But number two, lack of honesty. Lack of honesty. Believe it or not, there are people who profess to be teachers of the Scripture who are dishonest with the Scripture. They are dishonest with the people that they are ministering to. They are dishonest with the way they handle the Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 4, you have it on your sheet there. God doesn't want us to be like children tossed to and fro. That is, with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. Tossed to and fro has to do with being mentally agitated. What do I do? How do I believe? What do I show? How do I know who to believe? Which church is right? God doesn't want us to be that way. But it can happen when men, in the word there in the King James is slight, sleight of men, cunning, craftiness, where they lie in wait to deceive. There is outright dishonesty in some people's lives when it comes to handling the scripture. You say, I can't believe that. It's what it says. It's what it says. Some people are dishonest. By the word slight, it's, the word is, it's the word is like from cube, like dice playing, and how you would deceive someone, cheat them, defraud them by cheating. One other verse that points that very same thing out, and then we'll quit. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. It's on your sheet. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot, blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to be understood, that they which are unlearned and unstable rest, W-R-E-S-T, rest. That means twist or pervert. It has to do, it's used in connection with putting somebody to the rack in torture. And if you ever watch religious channels and you know your Bible and you see the way some of these guys handle scripture, it's like torture. They're yanking a verse out of its context and holding it up, and it's and there are the bleeding ends of vessels and tendons and muscles that where they have ripped it right from its context, and they're saying it means this when it has nothing to do with what they're saying. They've got the scriptures on the torture bench. Why are there so many differences? Well, one, of course, as we mentioned, lack of life, spiritual life. You're not going to understand the scripture if you're not born again. And the second, lack of honesty with those that teach. We're going to go ahead and quit right now. Next week, we'll deal with the other two. In just a moment, I'm going to ask...